Okay, hi friends. We're here at the beginning of the Blessed One's webinar commentaries, number 10, page 39 in Esoteric Psychology, volume 2. And we have now gone through the seven stanzas related to the Blessed Ones. We have seen the Blessed Ones coming forth into the five worlds of human and superhuman evolution, and especially anchoring themselves in the three lower worlds. We've seen that the angel of the presence is the shadow of the Blessed One, considered in a higher sense as that part of the monad which retains its capacious awareness on the monadic level, even while sending forth an emanation of itself. We've seen the emanation of the greater monad, the Blessed One. We've seen that Blessed One seek to understand the ways of matter and to reach the point of dissatisfaction, like the prodigal son, and to consult within himself about the possibility of return to the Father's house. We realize that part of that return involves passing through the extension of the monad, which we call the egoic lotus, or that whole structure of monadic awareness on the higher mental plane, and from thence through triadal realms and finally back to home. We've seen all the different ways of ray coming forth and ray return. And we've seen how the homecoming can be arranged according to the inner qualities of the particular unit in question. We've been given very solid advice as to how this can occur. At the end of almost every one of the stanzas, there is given some concrete advice. And we're told, you know, for the seventh ray type of monad, you have to, there's quite explicit advice. You have to listen to the rhythm, note the pulsation in the heart of that which is divine, retire into the silence, attune yourself unto the whole, and so forth. And for the sixth ray monadic type, advice has been given. Finding the narrow middle way and adherence to the chosen way and ignoring of the pairs of opposites will bring success. And thus it is, one way or another, for all the different types. They are told exactly what to do to return and to the monadic state and to complete their pilgrimage. The emanation of the monad must realize that it is indeed the monad. The emanation of the monad has a very low type of consciousness at first, because it is immersed in the lower worlds. But gradually, consciousness grows and the faculties grow, and it becomes a real reorientation becomes possible, and a conscious return first to soul identification, which is really, you know, extended monadic identification. I see all things as one thing in this regard. And finally, return to the monadic sphere step by step through its three personality expressions, atmic, buddhic, and monastic, and finally at the sixth degree, a complete rounding out of the great pilgrimage and the cycle which took the monad in extension into the five lower worlds and saw to its return after completing its redemptive mission with respect to the lower forms of life. Well, is literally the lower forms of life, because there are no lower lives. It's only by their form that we know whether they are higher or lower. The monad is one, and it is one in all things. And the monadic consciousness in extension may seem to be asleep in some of the lower kingdoms and even in humanity, but it gradually awakens to itself as it passes through the various kingdoms. All the kingdoms are, in a way, all the subsidiary kingdoms to the kingdom of planetary lives are opportunities for the monad to redeem and also regain its full awareness of itself as the One. Sometimes DK does indeed refer to the monad, the One, as he calls it. So we're going to go on a little bit into some practical matters. It might be of value if we hear summarized in a more simple and less occult terms the significance of the above esoteric stanzas, to express their true meaning in a few succinct and terse phrases. I'm sure we'll all welcome that. In my book on the Seven Rays, I used some of these indications pretty much to determine what it was like for the soul to go forth and gradually build up its consciousness in the lower worlds, to build up the its consciousness within the lower kingdoms. But of course, the one who is rising through the vegetable, through the mineral, vegetable, and animal kingdom is none other than the monad. So the monad in great attenuation is rising through the kingdoms. And then when we reach the human kingdom, we can use these particular succinct and terse phrases to discover what it's like for the benighted human being at first, and what it's like later for the human being who is truly returning. The stanzas are of no use unless they convey to the ray types among the students of this treatise some useful meaning, whereby they can live more truly. And what can we mean by that? You know, it's a question of conformity, more in conformity with the sponsoring archetype. Sponsor. Sponsoring is a bestowal of energy and support and sustainment from above, from some source that is higher than the one to be sponsored. So in the initiation ceremony, we have our sponsors, those who support, believe in us, and help, and who have vouched for us and validated our progress and spoken of our progress to the superiors who are in charge of the initiation altogether. It's all done with great care. But the archetype is the very thing that has been sustaining all of the process. It is the purpose. Archetype and purpose are, in my mind, pretty well indistinguishable. Purpose is a pattern which must be realized. It's a pattern of rightly sustained, rightly related energies, which further sustain the progress of the being who represents them in the lower worlds, and who must, receiving their pattern, impress that pattern within the lower worlds for redemptive purposes. So these may look like easy ray ideas, but they will encapsulate something for us which maybe had escaped us in the deeper and more occult presentation of the stanzas. Obviously, they're not going to say as much to the intuition as the stanzas do, but they will be useful as mental pegs for understanding how the Blessed Ones descend and reascend. The individualized spirit expresses itself through the various ray types in the following manner. Through the various ray types, it's always the creative hierarchy expresses through the ray, as we have learned. So the emanation of the monad, the Blessed One, becomes individualized becomes individualized. And through limitation, let's just say, individualization of the monad is a limitation upon the vast monadic awareness. So it is an encapsulation of the vast monadic awareness. And one and the monad in the lower worlds doesn't even realize its own soul consciousness. It doesn't realize the state of unity through which it has passed on the higher mental plane. It loses all the higher planar awareness and has to regain that planar awareness step by step. And gradually, you know, in a way, it is the returning turning monad which is responsible for breaking so many of the vehicles upon the way. I mean, not without the higher impact as well, but the returning monad, RTM, rotary motion, returning RMD, reminded. Everything's getting used up here. The returning monad wants to, what can we call it, break out of confinement, especially when it realizes what it really is. There's always that inner urge to break out, but one doesn't know why. And then when one begins to realize that one is the great life itself, then any confinement and withholding from the prerogatives of that greater life are spiritually rejected, and the forms have to be shattered. The returning monad, RTNG. I want to get one of those. RTGMD. That'll do it. We'll see if I ever use these again. That's the thing. You want to use the ones that really work and are frequently to be used. RTG, returning monad. So we are always the returning monad, especially once we have undergone the reorientation, which we call the reversal of the wheel. And at first we return to that lower expression of the monad we call the soul on its own plane. After all, it is our soul, and our soul is monadic, even though substanded by the consciousness of the solar angel, which enhances it. So our soul consciousness is enhanced by solar angelic consciousness. Our soul consciousness is enhanced by the interfusion of solar angelic consciousness. You know, we become an outpost of the Master's consciousness. We become an outpost of the solar angelic consciousness. How can that be? Well, consciousness is a rather fluid something which can penetrate and pervade and permeate a lower field and somehow be present within that lower field, accessing what is known by the entity using the lower field and enhancing what that entity knows. So if I'm to be overshadowed at a certain moment or permeated by the master's consciousness or some higher consciousness, I will suddenly know more than I knew before because of the presence of that knowingness within my lesser knowingness. The language is pretty mystical in a way, and one day we'll be more scientific and occult when we understand exactly what's happening from a more technical point of view. So, okay, then we look at Ray 1 and we remember. First, I tell you what let's do. Let's read the stanza and then take a look at how DK essentializes it. Ray 1. The Blessed One flies like an arrow into matter. He destroys or ruptures the way by which he might return. He grounds himself deeply in the depths of form. He asserts, I will return. My power is great. I will destroy all obstacles. Nothing can stop my progress to my goal. Around me lies that which I have destroyed. What must I do? The answer comes, order from chaos, O pilgrim on the way of death. This is the way for you. Love you must learn. Dynamic will you have. The right use of destruction for the furtherance of the plan must be the way for you. Adherence to the rhythm of the planet will release the hidden Blessed One and order bring. So, what do we have? Well, this is all, let's say, all of this operates. All of these qualities operate once the Blessed One is immersed in the lower worlds. We are not talking about the manner of leaving the Father's home. And there are different manners of doing so. You know, there are different manners of apparently separating oneself from the Father's home. Whether you build an ark or you roll yourself in a veil or you fly like an arrow or you rush forth to combat or you come forth in ignorance or you follow the way with fury or whether you seek to enter the world of forms holding to the hand of the magician. There are different ways of separating yourself from the vast awareness of your monadic consciousness. So, dynamic one-pointedness, nothing wrong with that. But destructive energy, which is unintelligent at first, or at least not spiritual. Power realized selfishly, so the lower ego seeks power for itself, and that is the limited human being with a limited self identity. Lovelessness, and this is what every first ray monad has to learn. Love you must learn, dynamic will you have. So there is the question of cultivating this magnetic cohesive energy, the cultivation of the magnetic cohesive energy is needed. And you know, in a state of lovelessness, there's simply a separation, a barrier between oneself and others. We're told that the first and fifth ray types, these are even soul types, when dealing with psychopathology, may enter such a state of isolation as to make themselves completely untouchable. This is untouchability in a different sense. There's no possibility of relation because the law of cleavages is operating. That's a fifth ray law, but you can see how it has its roots in the first ray. Isolation, but certainly not in unity, holding oneself apart and separate. We are told that the majority of the masters of the Black Lodge are first-ray souls. So they're holding themselves apart, and they consider themselves to be different from everything else, different and distinct, and they will not blend into and realize their larger identity. A longing for power and authority exercised in a personal way, exercised personally, a desire to dominate, to be the, to be at the head of a strictly human hierarchical arrangement, and expressed strength. Well, nothing wrong with the expressed strength, okay, but self-will, in other words, cut off from the will of the whole. So really, you know, these kinds of terse and specific statements have applicability even in the soul sense. The return to soul consciousness must come first, and then the return to monadic consciousness. And this leads to, eventually, the dynamic use of energy, and earlier it said the energy of destruction for the furtherance of the plan. So moving things powerfully into a position. So dynamic, dynamos, it means to move with great power. The use of destructive forces in order to prepare the way for the builders. And we can work here under Vulcan or Pluto, either one. And even Uranus has its place also. So in order, this is one of the qualities of Shambhala, one of the energies. We have destruction as the second, purification as the first, and then organization. But clear away the debris so that something really can be built. I mean, you can't put, it's the old thing about putting new wine in old bottles. It just doesn't work, because the old bottle and the energy within it, and even the biological remnants within it, taint the new wine. So sometimes you just have to clear away, you have to level things in order to build anew. So let's see, leveling in order to build anew. The will to power in order to cooperate. So bring in the possibility of exerting the right. So not to be delayed, not to be thwarted, not to be contained, but be able to express fully, because one has power, that which is correct. And that is to cooperate with the higher sources, and also with those fellow human beings who are in touch with the higher plan and purpose. So it's not just power for oneself, it's power to promote unity and cooperation within the whole. Power realized as a major weapon of love, because on this return path one is regaining, one regains the love on the reoriented path. Power realized as the major weapon of love, at least for this type. So the destroying those factors which prevent right cohesion, which prevent the appearance of the right pattern. So getting rid of the impediments to loving relationship. The impediments of loving relationship. Identification with the rhythm of the whole. It's a bit like this seventh ray, isn't it? You know. But how is it put here? Order from chaos. Adherence to the rhythm of the planet. That is to be considered the whole in this context. So the plan can be executed according to the rhythm of the whole and not according to one's own personal rhythms and personal needs. So a wide consciousness, aware of the different rhythms of energies, which all contribute to the development of the whole. So, in other words, when do you do something? Well, this is not determined by one's own desire or intention. But by the way that the planetary logos applies his energies in the lower worlds. So you have to learn patience and waiting and to act with the higher energies at the right time. And the cessation of isolation and instead the realization RLZ, let's try that, RLZ, RLZN, okay, realization of isolated unity, and instead of feeling really separate and granular and completely distinct at all times, one realizes that one is the very life of others. So, one is the very life and identity of others. And so the oneness has been isolated instead of the individualized monad. The individualism has been overcome. So, what are the qualities here? Well, I think we have those. Or maybe just to read them in sequence, rapidly, maybe that would be useful. So, dynamic one-pointedness, destructive energy, power realized selfishly, lovelessness, isolation, a longing for power and authority, desire to dominate, expressed strength and self-will, leading to, with reorientation and a return towards home, the dynamic use of energy for the furtherance of the plan, the use of destructive forces in order to prepare the way for the builders, the will to power in order to cooperate, power realized as the major weapon of love, identification with the rhythm of the whole, the cessation of isolation. Now, you can see pretty well that we are not talking here, you know, when discussing these qualities, we are not talking about any ultimate homecoming. We are remaining in the field of soul expression and are not speaking about the expression of the Blessed One in the higher fields. I suppose there are some things we could look at here, but really all of this can be expressed in the three lower worlds and not only on the triadal levels, though those monads or blessed ones who had returned to the triadal levels would express all of this in greater measure, with greater power, greater understanding, and so forth. But we are not taking that moment of looking at that moment of joyous reabsorption. We are stopping short of that. All right, now we have the second ray, and let's see what he says about that. Let's call it the second ray monad, but as you can see, it is possible simply to consider this also the expression of the personality and the expression simply of the human soul at an early stage of its work in the lower three worlds. Now, of course, the interesting thing is, if you think about this, we have to remember, and this is very important, and it shows the following, shows that the monad does indeed color the expression of the human soul in the lower three worlds. And why is this? Because you cannot have a second ray soul or a first ray soul until the man truly is a disciple. The change to those rays occurs after the time of reorientation, the change to the third ray earlier, once there is intelligence. So what is it that is causing these first and second ray qualities in the world when we're not really dealing with a first ray soul or a second ray soul in earlier stages of human expression? Of course, the first and second ray can come in via various planetary and astrological factors, no question about it, but it's not so much the misuse of first and secondary soul energy as it is the presence of the monadic type within whatever type of soul is expressing that gives us some of these selfish things. Because, you know, by the time we've changed to a secondary soul, we are already on the path of return. And the same is true for a first ray soul. So, in fact, we have to understand that interesting connection, that this second ray power and this first ray power are not coming from the soul per se, which is a subray of the monad. They're actually coming from the monad as the Blessed One, as the prodigal son, however attenuated that expression may be. So here is the power to build for selfish ends. This is building what the lower ego desires. And the second ray is ever the builder, has the patience to draw things together into a certain form. But what motivates this? It's not any vision of the whole or conformity to the plan. Capacity, this is a one that always attracted my attention. The capacity to sense the whole and yet remain apart, so obviously selfishness is not overcome. There always is this sense of wholeness with the second ray type. At what level this would come in, you know, maybe even that of the selfish student of philosophy or of spirituality. Yes, there's a wholeness, but I'm still selfish. The cultivation of the separative spirit, you know, there is the possibility here of non-inclusiveness. including all things pertaining to the self and not relinquishing any of them, but not including others. So there is with the second ray type a type of initial coldness, and inactivity. And so one may gather to oneself many things without considering the state of others within the whole which one senses. The hidden light, well, let's read that. I think we better read it because that will give us the foundation we need. The Blessed One built him an ark. See, this is where the hidden light comes in. Stage by stage he built it and floated upon the bosom of the waters. Deeply he hid himself, and his light was no more seen, only his floating ark. So form encumbered, we might say. His voice was heard. I have built and strongly built, but am a prisoner within my building. My light is hidden. Only my word goes forth. Around me lie the waters. Can I return from whence I came? Is the word strong enough to open wide the door? What shall I do? The answer came. Not the answer comes, you know, it's so immediate with the first ray, but it came. Build now an ark translucent which can reveal the light, O builder of the ark, and by that light you shall reveal the lighted way. The power to build anew, the right use of the word, and the using of the light, these will release the Blessed One, deep hidden in the ark. The monadic release, that's such an important idea. I wonder, do we have anything? Yeah, MDRL. Let's call it that. Okay? MDRL. Okay. MDRL. This will be, for us, monadic release. Ultimately, we are all heading in that direction. And that is what the second part of these stanzas is all about. So, the hidden light. The Blessed One is... not seen, he is encumbered by all he has attracted. The Blessed One is hidden by all that he has attracted around his spiritual nucleus. So with some of these the secondary types, where, after all, is the spirit? One can only see protective form after protective form. The realization of selfish desire, because the second ray brings success. Jupiter, Jupiter brings fulfillment. And Jupiter brings fulfillment. And one can attract, and one can attract to one's separative self that which one desires, and be outwardly fulfilled. So there will be success in this. What else? Longing for material well-being, and the problem is the love of comfort and all that which will not place stress and pressure upon the immersed unit. So there is that inner sensitivity which is protected by conditions of material well-being. Inner and sensitivity. So we don't normally think of the secondary type as possibly being materialistic, but, you know, if you really think about it, every type is materialistic. When they have first descended into the lower worlds, they deal with matter, they think in terms of matter form, they have forgotten their origin, they don't have a conscious access to the pairs of opposites. They awaken to that later, the higher of the pairs of opposites. So they seek material fulfillment. It's a great secondary or false home to the spirit, you know, looking for home within the protection of matter, we can say. Looking for home within the protective encirclement of matter, form. Selfishness in general, and why, I mean, all of them have selfishness, and subordination of all soul powers to this end, and there is then, there is the use of soul powers to promote the welfare of that which has been gathered for comfort and protection. Because there is a buffering at work here. This is the most, maybe the most sensitive of all the types. And there is a basic fear of exposure, you know. Fear of exposure and selfishness assuages this fear. So, leading to building wisely in relation to the plan. And what do they call this? The power to build anew in relation to the plan and not according to self-protective, personal, PRSL, personal desire. What else? Inclusiveness, and not just separating oneself in something big and protective, like a big house or clothing or whatever kind of outer buffer. Outer buffer. So embracing, magnetically attracting not for oneself, but embracing others as if they are oneself. Others as if they are oneself. So here another form of Jupiter, which is not about self-satisfaction. A longing for wisdom and truth, and what did we have earlier here? Sometimes there are parallels here, aren't there? Well, in the first ray we had, yes, longing for material well-being. So these can be put opposite each other, I think. And instead of material well-being, it is for the more subtle things, wisdom and truth. This is the ray of love, wisdom, and also the ray of light. Light is a very strong factor here. The light of truth. Sensitivity to the whole, and this is not just sensing it and remaining apart, but sensitivity to the whole and remaining within the whole with that sensitivity. Sensitivity to the whole, and what we have is empathy and a feeling into the other constituents of the whole. Constituents. And renunciation of the great heresy of separateness. We will go over the oppositions in just a little while here. No longer separate, no longer sheltered in separativeness, right? That's the problem with the second ray type. Shielding others whom it loves in a personal way and shielding itself. So no longer dwelling in, what can we call it, sheltered separativeness. Even some people, you know, put on weight because of their oversensitivity, and they feel that somehow they can keep out the impacts. The weight is a great buffer, a great sheltering of the inner sensitivity, and it separates them from the possibility of impact. The revelation of the light, build now an ark translucent, O builder of the ark, which can reveal the lighted way, O builder of the ark. So at first we have the revelation of the word, and we can say that to the revelation of the word we can add the revelation of light. The light giver, the ray of light bearing or light carrying influence. So the word of unity and the light which reveals unity. The word of unity, the unifying word, and the light which reveals the inherent unity. And true illumination, so we're told at least the second-ray soul is the most luminous. Second-ray soul is the most luminous. And right speech through generated wisdom, the power to build anew, the right use of the word, the using of the light, these will release the Blessed One deep hidden in the ark. So we are always building when we speak. And we must speak wisely. Long experience will teach us how. Over time, we will generate wisdom. So, you know, you could say any old thing, but there's such a caution in the throat center. Let's just say this happens when heart and throat. This occurs when heart and throat. Are united. One has to speak with heart, from the heart, and not only from the mind, otherwise there is not real wisdom. So speaking with wisdom from the heart brings about intelligent, divinely intended cohesion, a reflection of the divine archetypal pattern. All right, let's look at the comparisons here, perhaps. Okay, the power to build for selfish ends versus the building wisely in relation to the plan. This is the Geminian setup. We learn by contrasts. Maybe we should also review that for Ray 1. Capacity to see the whole and to remain apart, sense the whole, and instead not remaining egoistic, but relinquishing one's separative ego, thus inclusiveness. The cultivation of a separative spirit, well sheltered. And I think here we have a different number of things here, but a longing for wisdom and truth, we have that. The cultivation of a separative spirit and instead the sensitivity to the whole. So one doesn't feel only within oneself and nurture one's own sensitivities, but one is sensitive to the sensitivity of others. And the renunciation of the great heresy of separateness. Okay, not all of these correlate, but some do. Longing for material well-being, and instead what? Longing for wisdom and truth. They're not given exactly in order, as we see. Selfishness and the subordination of all soul powers to this end, and instead right speech through generated wisdom. There is no exact parallel, but it's certainly unselfish. It's certainly unselfish. And the general renunciation of the great heresy of separateness. Everything depends on self-conception. If we think we are the lower ego, we will act accordingly. And all will be made to serve our sense of the separated self. So let's read that. I think it would be a good idea. The Blessed One built him an ark. Stage by stage he built it and floated upon the bosom of the waters. Deeply he hid himself, and his light was no more seen, only his floating ark. His voice was heard. I have built and strongly built, but am a prisoner within my building. My light is hidden. Only my word goes forth. Around me lie the waters. Can I return from whence I came? Is the word strong enough to open wide the door? I presume the door into the higher life, the door beyond the third degree, and the door toward monadic fulfillment. What shall I do? The answer came, build now an ark translucent, become a light bearer, a revealer, which can reveal the light. O builder of the ark, builder of that which surrounds always. Does it surround for comfort, or does it surround for inclusion and for developing through subjection to benevolent energies, all the others who are included? And by that light you shall reveal the lighted way, which leads others out of darkness and leads you back to the monad. The power to build anew, unselfishly, the right use of the word of the soul, right, not just the selfish word, and the using of the light to bring revelation to others and to throw light upon their path and one's own, these will release the Blessed One, encapsulated in all that he has gathered around himself magnetically, deep hidden in the ark. Okay. All right, I think we have a little time here to, the way we've been doing it, you know, the programs are sort of like an hour and 15, hour and 20, even hour and 25. I hope that can all be worked out in the long run. But let's look at the third ray stanza and then get right into the descent and reascent. The Blessed One gathered force. He hid himself behind a veil and deeply hid his face. Naught could be seen but that which veiled and active motion. Within the veil was latent thought. The thought reached forth. Behind this veil of Maya I stand, the Blessed One, but unrevealed. My energy is great, and through my mind I can display the glory of divinity. How can I, therefore, demonstrate this truth? What shall I do? I wander in illusion. The word went forth, all is illusion, O dweller in the shadows. Come forth into the light of day. Display the hidden glory of the Blessed One, the glory of the one and only. The glory and the truth will rapidly destroy that which has veiled the truth. The prisoner can go free. The rending of the blinding veil, the clear pronouncing of the truth, and practice right will render to the Blessed One that golden thread which will provide release from all the maze of earth existence. So let us see what we have. And I'll make sure that we have the right kind of bracket. At first, in the lower worlds, force manipulation through selfish desire. What do we call, you know, if you give into your dweller, you become the manipulator of souls. If the second ray type gives into the dweller, you become the deluder of souls, and the first ray type, the destroyer of souls. Well, it's maybe not that extreme, but here is selfish manipulation of energies and forces, especially forces, to fulfill what the lower ego wants. Intelligent use of force with wrong motives. So the intelligence is definitely there. Right? Has awakened. It's actually a bit later in the process that some of this is going on. We're not talking about the work of the immersed monad when the man is entirely unintelligent and benighted and bewildered and confused by all that's going on in the lower worlds. This is a personality use, we might say, of this particular ray. Intense material and mental activity. And notice the word intensity is also found with the corresponding ray, the sixth, the ray of undue intensity, but this is also intense activity. Rush not from point to point, nor be deluded by the outer forms and that which disappears. Behind the form the weaver stands, and silently he weaves, but we're not there yet. So there is all kinds of rapid and intense activity and mental activity in relation to material things, right? In relation to material things and states. And one is not thinking of higher things at all. The realization of energy as an end in itself. This is unusual. And shows the love of activity. Of acting under the impulse of energies and forces, whether or not anything of value is actually built or constructed. Longing for glory, beauty, and for material objectives. Okay, well, look at that. Yeah, it's so interesting how this word glory works in connection with the sixth ray and with the third ray. These two rays have so much to do with each other. And, of course, the rays of attribute, the four rays of attribute, are all the servants of the third ray. So, in a way, they are they're correlated with the number four and hence with beauty, and here is the manipulator in order to create beauty and grandeur. Those on the third ray love that. And for material objectives, for that which is to be manifested. So longing for glory, which is, we can call it an effulgence of light displayed. And for beauty of material things, mostly, a beauty in that which is manifested, and for, in general, for that which is to appear upon the material plane. Submergence, quite a word, because water is matter, and matter is water. So this is a very materialistic sign in the or ray in the early days, in illusion, glamour, and Maya, and let's just say, not able to extricate from the three lower worlds. But all this leads to the manipulation of energy in order to reveal beauty and truth. So let's just say there can be a right arrangement, which is more of a seventh ray thing in a way, but manipulation of thought matter to reveal the forms which reveal truth, and shedding light on the world for the sake of bringing the beauty of things and the truth of things to light. The use of forces intelligently for the furtherance of the plan. This is the third ray type. is adept at this. So bringing together the forces which, intelligent bringing together of forces to meet the need. The marshalling of forces to meet the need. When the plan has to be manifested in some certain sense and there's a blockage, well, there must be an intelligent way of bringing this aspect of the plan into manifestation. In other words, how can we do this? How can we do this? And we will figure it out. And of course, the fifth ray is good at that too. And also, I mean, all the rays can do this to an extent. But real intelligence is applied in paving the way for the plan. Ordered rhythmic activity. Well, as you say, the third ray type has learned something. And I'm remembering where we're told, nor love of my own wild activity. Love of the ordered process must control. So in the integration formula for the third ray, we can say that a love of the ordered process must control. And so the third ray type absorbs some of the, let's call it the seventh ray abilities, in cooperation with the whole, and not just this particular glamour of the third ray, cooperation with the plan in an individualistic manner, not just cooperation with the plan in an individualistic manner. But true cooperation in the best ways as suggested from above and for the benefit of the whole. So, you know, usually the third ray is in a way the ray of individualism. It has to do with the rotary motion, which vorticularly separates any entity from any other entity. When the energy is spinning, it casts off others and maintains the separation. We're told about that in a treatise on white magic, how the mind can be like a spinning wheel, which casts others away instead of inviting them in. You know, it's subject to the third ray. Ordered rhythmic activity must be quite a learning to get there, but how is it said? Love of the ordered process must control and not love of my own wild activity. So the third ray type outgrows this. We can imagine in relation to Master R that he is not given to chaotic third ray activity, though certainly he can move fast as the third ray does eventually, in cooperation with the whole and not just the part. And then desire for right revelation of divinity and light and not just the revelation which redounds to the glory of the separated or separative individual. Adherence to right action. Practice right. We remember that. Practice right. The rending of the blinding veil, which will reveal divinity and light. And practice right is the last one. So often rejected by the third ray. Third ray. Type. They, you know, any old action, the action of the moment, the action of the impulse, not fine action, usually, but this can be learned. They said of the third ray type, it's full of thought, but not of great refinement in the artistic work. The artistic products will be full of thought, but not especially refined, but eventually this is this crudeness or lack of responsiveness, lack of sensitivity, is finally overcome. And so we see them developing the abilities they lacked before, just as all ray types do. The revelation of glory and goodwill. You know, we think of philanthropy. The use of money, energy, for the sake of love and goodwill. Think of goodwill, think of action. We are told that goodwill is love in action. Okay, so there is the combination of the love aspect and the action aspect, the activity aspect, the revelation of glory and goodwill. These are beautiful qualities to be achieved by the third ray monad working through the soul of whatever kind, just the way there are soul activities to be achieved and qualities to be achieved by the soul on a certain ray working through personalities of any kind. You know, when you really look at the integration formulas, they don't depend upon the personality ray. They depend very much upon the soul ray. And some of these qualities in the monadic pilgrimage depend very much upon the monadic ray, and only secondarily upon its sub-ray, the soul ray. So let's look here at the comparisons and see if we can find... All right. Oh, that's pretty good. There we go. So forced manipulation through selfish desire. Well, you still have manipulation, but it's manipulation of energy in order to reveal beauty and truth. And as long as one is stuck in one's individualism, there will be no beauty of the greater whole, and the truth will always be distorted because there will be the personal bias. One will not want to see what goes against what one desires. Intelligent use of force with wrong motive. The intelligence is there, but the objective in mind is not for the welfare of the whole. And contrasting this, the use of force is intelligently for the furtherance of the plan. The furtherance of the plan is the right motive, the furtherance of the desires of the individual, because the individual at that point is not illumined, is the wrong motive. Intense material and mental activity, so that we see busyness with all of the glamorous implications. And instead, the seventh ray has taken over here in the life of the third ray type. Remember, they both have Saturn very strong, and Uranus has its own third ray quality as well. So, and it's involved in the seventh ray as well as the third, right? So instead of intense material and mental activity, you have ordered rhythmic activity in cooperation with the whole, and not just for the fulfillment, the frenzied activity trying to fulfill the part. The sixth ray type is called the frenzied follower. And you can well imagine the third ray type as rushing in a frenzy from point to point, trying to serve desire and get it done as fast as possible with no sense of the caution involved in rhythmic order. The realization of energy as an end in itself, so it, but, you know, what about the objective? You know, what about the end rather than the means? It's getting involved all in the means and forgetting what the end should be. Instead, a desire for right revelation of divinity and light, which the right use of energy will accomplish. Then longing for, well, I'm not sure if these work in exact parallel here. Longing for glory, beauty, and for material objectives. And instead, again, I would say, the desire for right revelation of divinity and light, which are not material objectives. There's nothing here that the adherence to right action is a little different from intense material and mental activity. And finally, the submergence in illusion and glamour and Maya. Well, that is the third ray state, you know, the victim of all that comes from the elemental life and from the lower energies, and rather the intelligent, ordered, rhythmic, cooperative revelation of glory and goodwill. What will be revealed? Glory and goodwill. And that is impossible when one is immersed in illusion, glamour, and Maya. And we can parallel this one, glory and goodwill, with the longing for beauty and for material objectives. But rather, when the veil is rent, you know, the rending of the blinding veil will result in the revelation of glory and goodwill, adherence to right action. And there is the clear pronouncing of the truth as well. So the clear pronouncing of the truth as a method will be connected with the manipulation of energy in order to reveal beauty and truth. The third ray type cares immensely for truth when highly developed, but not at first. Okay, I think we have what we need here, and of course we're over a bit. Why don't I just read the stanza one more time? I think it would be good. The Blessed One gathered force. He hid himself behind a veil. He rolled himself within that veil and deeply hid his face. Naught could be seen but that which veiled and active motion. Within the veil was latent thought. The thought reached forth. Behind this veil of Maya I stand, a blessed one, but unrevealed. My energy is great, and through my mind I can display the glory of divinity. How shall I therefore demonstrate this truth? What shall I do? I wander in illusion. So obviously at this point, the Blessed One is awakening to his potentials and what he longs to do, you know, a longing for beauty and truth, but of a higher kind. The word went forth, the word from his inner life. All is illusion, O dweller in the shadows, within the five lower planes, the shadows, even the entire cosmic physical plane. Come forth into the light of day. Display the hidden glory of the Blessed One, the glory of the One and Only. Display this through the veils. Attenuate the veils. Rend the veils. Render them capable of demonstrating the glory and the truth. The glory and the truth will rapidly destroy that which has veiled the truth. The prisoner can go free. Again, the release, right? The rending of the blinding veil so that glory and divinity may shine. The clear pronouncing of the truth so that the higher and lower may approximate. The right and practice right will render to the Blessed One that golden thread which will provide release from all the maze of earth existence. So we have achieved the knowledge of how to use the Antikarana. So this will be then the end of the Blessed One webinar commentaries, number 10, page 41, I guess. Looks like it. Page 41, and that is Esoteric Psychology, volume 2. And the beginning. Oh, it's the burning ground. That's the beginning, all right. Of Blessed One webinar commentaries. Blessed One webinar commentaries number 11, page 41. And we'll get now into the rays of attribute. It may take more than one program to do that in EP2. Okay. So we'll move on, and we'll deal with these. How does DK describe it? Yeah, that's the end of number 8 on Ray 7. He describes it instead as a few succinct and terse phrases. I think that would be worth outlining. This is what he has, and he's emphasizing, highlighting the most important aspects. you don't get the occult depth in it, you know. There, the language of the old commentary is so necessary. But you do get the necessary extractions of the main ideas, and that's important to us, certainly in the beginning, and later we can attempt to fathom the depths of the paragraphs themselves. So, okay, we will see you shortly.